Pizza station.
Pizza station. Okay, pizza station here. Okay, we're on page 1100. We're middle of the pasuk of. I mean, we started at Tzur Tamim Pa'oloi, Kichol Drachav Mishpatli. We said this is a pasuk which is said at funerals and basically it justifies that whatever God does is good. Okay, so he says like this, Atzur Tamim Pa'oloi, let's start again this pasuk. Atzur the rock, Tamim Pa'oloi, his work is perfect. Kichol Drachav Mishpat, all his paths are justice. Kel Amuna, he is a God of faith. Vein Oval, without corruption. Tzadik V'yashiruhu, he's righteous and he's fair. Okay? The simple meaning of this pasuk, by the way, is that whatever things God does to us seemingly seem to be bad, page 1100, even though seemingly it seems to be bad, that's why this is said at a funeral, by the way. It's called Tzadik Adin. Tzadik Adin means we tell God at the funeral that even though we don't understand that you did this terrible thing, so to speak, this person passed away, but you're perfect, everything you do is good, and it's our problem that we don't understand what you're doing. And in fact, we're discussing this at Pirkei Avos, Shabbos afternoon. It says about Altidon Yechidi. You shouldn't judge. Yechidi simply means you shouldn't judge as an individual. You should always make sure there's three. But one of the interpretations of that Mishnah is Altidon Yechidi means don't judge God. God is the unique individual, Yochid. You shouldn't judge God. Why? Because we need to look at an entire picture. Things might in our eyes look to be bad, but when you look at the whole picture, it's good. In fact, we discussed this Shabbos. The Chofetz Chaim once explained it in a very simple, interesting way. He says, a guy walks into shul, okay? And he sees the gabbai, the guy giving out the aliyahs. He says, okay, gives this guy, skips a few people, gives another guy, skips a few people, gives another guy. So the guy thinks to himself, why is the guy doing that? Why doesn't he just go in order? So he thinks the guy doesn't know what he's doing. The truth of the matter is he comes to the gabbai later and he says, hey, why didn't you just give an order? He said, you know why I didn't? Because you're here this Shabbos. You weren't here last week and 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago. Last week, that next guy that didn't get today got last week because he had this birthday, that simcha, whatever. And this guy got 2 weeks ago. So you're coming now, you look at a very limited picture of things and you're making comments. He said, when you come to God, God, thank God we're not God. But Hashem looks at it, page 1100. Hashem looks at the entire picture. Hashem looks at the entire picture, and therefore, we have to understand that in the perfect picture of things, everything is perfect. And it's our lack of understanding that makes this whole thing happen. And based on this, okay, they discuss this whole thing, and they give another interesting, I don't know who says this one, let me see this. It takes a little bit of brains you have to use your head for a minute or two. Who is this?
Even if you are very spiritual, you are judging God all the time.
Right.
It's a kind of judgment when even in good times, like why did you make that happen and not this happen? Or we are in a constant judging position.
We always judge everybody, except ourselves. We judge everybody, including God. The only one we don't judge is ourselves. He gives an interesting analogy over here. From the Ebenezer, by the way. It says like this. Two people traveling together. They stop to eat. One of them had three loaves of bread. Just, as in Yiddish, halt kop. Just keep it, use your head for a minute. Two people traveled. They come to eat. One guy has three breads. One guy has two breads. Okay? All of a sudden, a third guest comes, guy off the road. He says, you know, I'm very hungry. And please share your food with me. And I'll pay you for it. They said a deal. So, the three of them now ate all five loaves of bread. Got it? Yeah, three loaves and two loaves, two people down. The third guy came. So all together between the three of them, they ate five loaves of bread. The guy paid $5. That's what he gave them. $5. Now the question is, how do you divide the $5 to these two guys? Okay? Now, the three bread guy says, listen, I should get three, and he should get two. Right? Because I had three breads, you have two breads, this guy paid $5, that makes sense. I should get $3, and you get $2. Yeah? So, he said, no. The guy of two breads said, no, everybody ate equally, so what's the difference? So, they went to the Rav of the city. The rabbi of the city. Who gets the money? How do you divide the money? Listen to this. So the Rav said, the guy with three breads gets $4. The guy with one bread, with two breads I mean, gets $1. Nobody thought of that one. None of the parties then. So, they started laughing at the rabbi. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We decided three and two. Now you're saying four and one? That's crazy. How do you get to such a thing? So when the Ebenezer heard of this, he told them, let me explain to you what the Rav did. Why he did what he did. He says, just because, and he said to them, I want to prove to you, if you can't even understand the brilliance of a human being, how do you expect to understand the brilliance of God? That you keep questioning God. He says like this. Let me tell you why the rabbi ruled what he ruled. He says, each one of you, okay, now, there are five breads, right? And three people. So, divided basically into 15 thirds. There are three of you, right? So you take the five breads and divide them into 15 parts, right? Now, everybody ate five pieces, five thirds, right? Everybody ate five pieces. You divided the five breads into 15 pieces because you were three people. Each one ate five pieces. Okay. Now, the one that had two chalas ate five thirds. So what did he give from his to his friend? Only one third. So therefore he gets $1. The guy that had three chalas, so he ate from his bread were nine thirds, and take off the five thirds that he ate. So the guest ate four thirds of his. Four three parts. So therefore he gets $4. Okay? So the Ibn Ezra explained, just halachically, if you divide it evenly, the five breads into 15 pieces, that each one gets three, so based on that, the guy that had two breads only gave one piece to the guy, and the other guy gave four thirds to the other guy. So therefore did this. So what did Ibn Ezra want to bring up by this? If you can't even understand a brilliant human being, how do you expect to understand what God does? So we make judgments, like these people were laughing at the rabbi. He made a stupid, foolish judgment. And not only did he not make a foolish judgment, it was brilliant what he did. And this is what he says. So therefore he says like this. A person should not think, it says, why is there tzaddik v'ralei? David HaMelech's famous question. Why do the wicked prosper and the evil and the good suffer? A famous question. Well, the Gemara's expression is, there's tzaddik v'ralo, meaning there's a tzaddik that has it bad to him. He has bad life. And there's a rasha, the tevla, he has a good life. Why is it like that? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what God does, we can't understand, meaning like this. Hashem sometimes, by a tzaddik, world to come is more important than this world. Right? Because the world to come is eternal. The world, the present world is temporary. And he's not into the physical of the world, the enjoyment of the world. He's more into spirituality. So by him, Gan Eden is more important than this world. Yeah? So sometimes, and the truth is, every person on their own level does good, and every person on their own level does bad. And God rewards everybody accordingly. So a tzaddik, because for the few bad things he did in his life, on his level, Hashem says, you know what? I don't want to punish you in the world to come because that's your world that you want. I'm going to make you suffer a little bit in this world. Why? Then when you come to the world to come, you got a clean, beautiful world to come. The Rasha, who's more interested in this world, and the Rasha does do some good. I mean, everybody does good. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to reward the wicked in this world. And the world to come, he gets nothing. Right? That's the way Hashem. So just because it doesn't look like that to me, doesn't mean that that Hashem is making a mistake.
Oh, Rabbi, doesn't it say over and over again that you do good and you see good here?
No, it doesn't say that.
In the morning when you are doing the tefillin, it says, you know, go visit a sick person, go... Be polite to your parents.
She wants to see good in the Hardalat Amos.
But why do you shouldn't see good here if you're a chesed person?
Because when you see good in this world, it comes off the world to come. That's the reality. That's the reality. So Hashem works in a very interesting way. Well, I'll give you another example. They bring down over here. Kel emuna ve'enovel. God is a faithful God. He doesn't do any iniquity. He doesn't do anything wrong, evil. So the Medrash says this refers to Miriam and Yocheved, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother and sister. They were Shifra and Pua. They gave birth to hundreds and hundreds of Jewish kids, right? And they took care of them and everything else. And then there was Parah's daughter. It was called Basya or Bisya, if you pronounce it correctly. Her name was Bisya, even though it's red. But if you look at the place with vowel in the Kodesh, it's Bisya, her name was. So it says like this. Miriam and Yocheved died. And Bisya, for raising one kid, Moshe Rabbeinu, she's one of the people, the Gemara says, went straight to Gan Eden, she never died. Pharaoh's daughter. It doesn't make sense. Here you have Miriam and Yocheved, raised hundreds and thousands of Jewish kids, and they die. And Bisya, it goes straight to Gan Eden. So he said, can we understand what God does? We can't understand what does. One thing the Pasuk says, and this is what the Pasuk says, Atzur Tamim Pa'aloi, meaning whatever Hashem does is perfect. And like we learned last week we were discussing this, just because I don't understand something that God does, doesn't make it wrong. The question is the opposite, like we learned. Why do I think I could understand anything Hashem does when God is God and I'm a human? God's infinite, I'm finite. How can we understand anything?
So, Rabbi, why don't we go to a tzaddik for it to correct those things?
But tzaddik is to correct things if we're interested in being corrected.
No, but I'm saying if there's a blessing upstairs for us, we go to a tzaddik to bring it down in our Dalai Lama's, right?
Yeah, but what does this have to do with doubting God or questioning God?
No, not about doubting God, but I mean, saying like, you were saying that everything that comes from Hashem comes is good, right? And sometimes...
Oh, you mean so if Hashem makes us sick, why do we go to a doctor?
Why do we go to a tzaddik, a doctor, whatever? But the bottom line is, to heal, no? I mean, we go to a doctor, we go to
I understand. Let me paraphrase your question, to make sense. Nothing personal, if everything God does is good, so if Hashem makes us, God forbid, sick, it's good, so why do we go to a doctor to get healed? Mm-hmm. It's good that we're sick? We should be sick, it's good? Yeah? So what's the answer?
You're up.
Because the Torah says two words. In other words, without those two words, V'rapa yirapa in Parshas Mishpatim, that you have to pay doctor bills, meaning that the Torah gives permission for a doctor to cure, we would not be allowed to go to a doctor, because we're mixing into God's business. Or the same thing, the Gemara asks, that Pikeira says Rabbi Akiva, if your God loves poor people, he keeps talking about tzedakah, 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 you know, give tzedakah to poor people, so why does he make them poor? In other words, basically, the Pikeira is really asking Rabbi Akiva deeper, so why do you give tzedakah? If God wants him to be poor, let him be poor. You're mixing into God's business. But if everything God does is perfect, so this person being poor is perfect, so that's why you're mixing in. The answer is because Hashem says, I want you to mix in. Otherwise not. Hashem says, because the poor man's money is what you have. But it's his money, not yours. So when you give money to a poor man, you're not giving him your money. You're giving him God's money that's passing through you to get to him, for whatever reason known to God. God doesn't want to give it straight to the poor person, straight. So God gives it to me to give to the poor person. He gives it to you to give to the poor person. But it's not, because Hashem said, I want you to mix in, because you need to realize, it's not your money, it's the poor person's money. Okay, let's go back.
Well, just not, Rabbi, it says also by Avraham Avinu, it says by, what was his name, the king that held Sarah?
Avimelech.
Avimelech, it says, go to him, and he'll be mispal for you, because he's a prophet, and it'll be good. So we see this all. Or you see also by Moshe Rabbeinu, because they go especially to a tzaddik to correct things, is what I'm saying.
You go to a tzaddik to get guidance. You go to a doctor to get healed. A tzaddik, as the Gemara calls him, is a spiritual doctor. He heals your spiritual illnesses. Okay, whatever. Anyway.
Sometimes the good that you get in this world doesn't necessarily come off the world. Come to be.
Usually it does, it says.
So what motivates people to be good here? If there is not that, if your destiny is to come here and suffer, what is your...
Let me ask you a question. You have children, yes?
Right.
You do things for them?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you expect to get in return from it? Besides
nothing.
Headaches.
Nothing.
And heartaches. Do you do it that they should say thank you?
No.
No, because they ain't going to get it anyway. Right? You're not going to get the thank you. That's what kids are. I mean, you know. Now, so why do you do it? Because it's the right thing to do. Okay, you love your kids, right? If I want to do him a favor, why should I do him a favor? Like, what's in it for me? That's the one. What's in it for me? Yeah? And Torah teaches us, you know, all the tzedukim and baitusim, the ones that did not believe in the oral Torah, tzedukim and baitusim, were tamidim of Rabbi Shuv and Prachya. Okay, in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, it says, Rabbi Shuv ben Prachya said, in serving God, don't be like slaves that serve the master for reward. You should serve the master, not for reward. Okay? So what did Rabbi Shuv ben Prachya basically say? We don't do Torah mitzvahs because there's something in it for me. We do Torah mitzvahs because God said to do it. Okay? When Rabbi Shuv ben Prachya said that statement, two of his big students, Tzaduk and Baitus, that eventually became the heads of the Tzadukim and Baitusim, who did not believe in the oral Torah, they said, what type of religion is this? We're going to be working for nothing? Sounds like teenagers, but they weren't teenagers. What's in it for me? And because of that, they turned away from Yiddishkeit. They didn't believe anymore in the oral Torah, only in the written Torah. But what is the truth? A person doesn't do good because I'm going to get something out. The true way of doing, we do good because this is the right thing to do. And therefore, by the way, if I do you a favor and all I get back is a spit in the face, yeah? So what I really, So if I would be a normal human being, not a Torah Jew, I say, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to do anything more for you. That's all I get back. Yeah? But the truth of the matter, a Torah Jew will still help him because I'm not helping him because I expect something in return. I'm helping him because the right thing to do is to help another person or to do a mitzvah. And that's what it's all about. Okay. Shiches Patsik Vav. I mean, hey. Shiches Loi. Corruption is Loi Loi. Meaning, there's a Loi Loi. Corruption is not God's. Bun of Mumam. The blemish is his children's. Dar Ikesh, a perverse, meaning crooked generation. Uvasaltil, and a twisted generation. It's interesting. Rashi said the word Pesaltil. Yeah? It's really one word, psila, a thread that you twist. This is, it says, pesaltil, is like Rashi says, you have the, in Hebrew you have yirakrak, adam dom. It's really yoroik, but in Torah it says yirakrak, or adam dom. But then you have over here pesaltil, Rashi says it's similar, Rashi says, I'm saying, minat tevis kfule, so yirakrak, adam dom, secharchar, segalgel. It's really one word that the Torah just repeats itself. Mm-hmm. But what the Torah is here saying is another phenomenal point, by the way. When Jews, he's speaking about Jews, so it's really anybody. Because, when the Yidden go against Hashem, it's their own blemish. And mother, who are they hurting?
Themselves.
They're hurting themselves. Because when you behave, God calls you my children. We're God's children. What could be greater than that? When you don't behave, God says, you're still my children, but, you know, goodbye. So, what the Torah is saying, corruption, and this is a very interesting point. People always ask, why did God do A, B, C, D? God didn't do it. People had free choice to do it. Okay? If you want to be technical, let's say take the Holocaust. God didn't do the Holocaust. People did the Holocaust. People had the free choice to kill. God let it happen. But who killed people? Not God. The Germans killed people. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk, Shiches Loi Loi. Corruption does, there's no corruption by God. Bun of Mumam. The children are blemished. In other words, people, right, this is the way Rashi says, people are causing and doing evil, not Hashem. It's like a crooked, in other words, like this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Ki yesharim darchei Hashem. The ways of God are straight. Dar ikesh b'salto, a crooked, twisted, that's not God's ways. God's ways are straight. That's what the pasuk says. David Amal says in Tehillim, Yisharim darchei Hashem, the ways of God are straight. This there says, Dar ikesh b'saltel, that's the people that do bad. And what's remarkable is, whether good or bad is done, God gives us the free choice to do whatever we want. So when I do bad, I'm doing bad. It's not Hashem doing bad. There's no bad by God. God doesn't do anything bad. And then the pasuk says like this. Hala Hashem tigmaluzais, and it's interesting in that word, Hala Hashem, the hey is a separate word. Ha, I think it's the only word, maybe not, but it's one of the few words in Torah that's only one letter. Ha la Hashem tigmaluzais. In other words, is it Hashem that you do this? I'm novel v'leichachem of foolish and unwise people. In other words, Meisha Ben is asking, how in the world can you be so foolish? Novel v'leichachem means foolish, stupid. He says, is this what you do to God, who raised you, took you out of Egypt, gave you everything for them? How could you be so ungrateful? Because Rashi says two things. Vile in their gratitude and unwise not realizing the consequences that you do when you sin. Now, first of all, it's vile, it's very empty, terrible that you're going against God. And you're not smart because, like, who you're hurting? You're not hurting anybody else but yourself. Who you're hurting? It's like a kid gets angry, so okay, I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to go to school. So who you're hurting? The parent? You're hurting yourself. You're not learning. So what? Like, what are you doing? It's foolish. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. And kids don't always hear, but adults are supposed to understand this on a much greater level. So it says, "Am navo v'lei chacham." The only ones that can go, and that's why this explains another interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Rish Lakish says, "Ein adam eved aveda, elim kein nichnas beiruch shtus." Rish Lakish says in the Gemara, a person only sins because a foolish ruach shtus, a foolish spirit, comes into the person, meaning they become crazy. They actually become crazy. In America, it's called temporary insanity. That's what it is. It's temporary insanity. That's what he said. What the time you sin, Reish Lakish says, is temporary insanity. The difference is, in the secular system, temporary insanity gets you off the hook. you go innocent. And like these, like, what do we call this guy?
Huh?
The Menendez brothers, they were Beverly Hills. But there's another kid that killed somebody, and the judge let him out. This is a true story. And then he did another thing. They finally got him again. The judge let him out for killing somebody because this was the defense. The kid was so wealthy and so spoiled rotten by the parents, he didn't know right from wrong. And therefore, when he killed somebody that he killed, he didn't realize that he did something wrong. And he was off. They got him out. Now he's in turn, that's not going to work. Shlaki says, Ain't the Mevid Aved, the only way a person will sin is because a fuller spirit enters his mind. What's the fuller spirit? He says, I'm still a Jew, I'm still connected. And in fact, we're going to learn, I don't know if we'll get there today. Yaakov Chavon Achlosen. No, probably not going to get there today. Yaakov is the rope of God's inheritance. Okay, anytime a person sins, the Pasuk says, there's a rope, a lifeline of a rope that connects top to bottom. There's a spiritual rope that connects God and our and ourselves. And this rope, like every rope, is composed of a lot of thin strings. So this rope is composed of 613 strings. Okay? And the lifeline between God and the Jew is when you do a mitzvah. So then you have the lifeline that's coming down. But when you do a sin, you cut the rope. So you cut even maybe a single strand. But two things. That single strand is ripped. And secondly, the whole rope is weaker. So not only you cut that single strand, now the rope is composed of 613. Now it only has 612. So the whole rope is a little bit weaker because of reaction. What's the shtus? The person's foolishness is they think, you know what? Okay, so he desecrated Shabbat. He didn't eat kosher. Didn't. But I'm still a Jew. What's the big deal? I still, I'm a Jew. And the truth is, every sin, and this is the foolish spirit that enters the person's mind, that he says, I'm novel v'lechachm, you're foolish, unwise people. Why is it? Because the truth is, anything we do against God is idol worshipping. Any sin, realistically, this was the explanation of the Gemara, why every sin is rosh tos, because the person thinks, okay, I'm still a Jew. Why is that incorrect? Because any sin a person does is denying the existence of God in front of them. If God would be watching you, a policeman would be watching you, you're not going to go through the stop sign and the red light and unbuckle your seatbelt. You're not going to do it because you know he's watching you. A person at least has to believe God's watching over them. If God would be watching over them and they feel it, they wouldn't be doing this and that and maybe they wouldn't do any sins, nothing whatsoever. So why do they sin? Because they deny at that moment. At that moment, they deny God's existence. So, and this is what he says. Halashem tigmul uzeis. Is this what you're doing, Hashem? First of all, like, It's foolish. Number one, it's corruption, because look what he did for you and look how you're paying it. And secondly, you're not smart, because look at the consequences that are going to come out of it. Halayhu avicha kanecha. Is he not your father, your master? Hu ascha, he made you. Has he not made you? Vayichaynenecha, and firmed you. Chenecha means that it's actually, tikkun means establish it firmly. In other words, the pasuk is saying, God is your father that made you. God did he not create you and establish you what you are today? How can you, he says, it just doesn't make sense. How in the world are you going against Hashem? He did everything but,
The Ruach Shtus comes from the
Yetzer Hara. The Ruach Shtus is definitely from the Yetzer Hara.
So that's an animal soul, which is very powerful.
Yetzer Hara is very, very powerful.
Because it's from an animal. It's an Hashem of an animal.
Yeah, but that's what does foolish things. But a Jew is called Am Chacham V'Novin. The part Am Chach V'Novin Agoya Godel Azeh. The Torah calls the Jews Am Chochem V'Novin, a brilliant Chochem and Bina nation. And here the Torah says, when you sin, you become Am Novo V'Loi Chochem. You become a foolish, unwise nation. Okay, now Moshe Rabbeinu is going back a little bit into history. Okay? He says like this. Zechar Yimei Seilam, remember the days of yesteryore, you mean what's called the days of yore, the good old days. Binu shneis der v'der, understand the years of generation after generation. Meaning like this, and this is another important thing. It's worth spending a few minutes just on this concept. Remember the past. And there's two opposite things with the past. Remember the past, the good, and build on the good. If the past is bad, dump it. Forget about it. Good is accumulative. Good is accumulative. Like we learned many times, Rabbi Blazer ben Azariah says 70, he was the reincarnation of Shmuel HaNavi, 52, and he was 18, so it equals 70. Good, when it's, even in a person, they live a life, they do good and bad. They die, the evil gets cleansed in Gehenna, it's a cleaning process, and the good remains. Okay? It's a mashal that the Medrash says, the Medrash discusses and says, if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't bring Mashiach, if the Rabbi Akiva couldn't bring Mashiach, if the Rambam couldn't bring Mashiach, if the Baal Shem Tov, how can we bring Mashiach? I mean, come on, look how great they were. And look how nothing we are. How in the world are we going to bring Mashiach if they couldn't? So the Medrash gives a mashal of ananas agabi anak. A midget standing on the shoulders of the giant. The giant can see very far. But when a midget is standing on top of the giant, he can even see further. Now you can see further away. I is a midget and this is the giant. The answer is, it's not the midget and the giant. It's the midget together with the giant. So they're the past, they're the giants, and we're the midgets, tiny midgets, but we're standing on the work that they did. So it says, Zechar Yimei Seilam, remember the good old days, the days of yore with the tzaddikim and everything that needs to be the way God created the world, and all the 70 nations correspond with the 70 Jews that were born when they came into Egypt. Just, it says, remember the history of the Jewish people. So the past, you know, there's a word in English, they say, past is an indication of the future. Okay? But that's only when the past is good and you build on it. What happens if your past wasn't so good? So rather than harp on the past, dump the past and only deal with the future. So past is good. When is the past good? When the past feels good. When the past feels good, work with, like we in Judaism, we deal with the earlier tzaddikim and the previous generations, and we learn from them, and they influence us, because they were good. The bad, let's forget about.
You learn from the past, right?
Yeah, but only from the good of the past.
I mean, same experience.
I understand, but then it's good. You have to only learn good from the past for the future, but not deal with the past. And we said this many, many times, but such a remarkable concept to explaining this. In Parshas Beshalach, okay, when the Jews were leaving Egypt, the Torah at the beginning of the Parsha speaks about one war, and at the end of the Parsha it speaks about another war. Okay? The Jews are leaving Egypt before the crossing of the sea. The Egyptians are behind them, chasing them. The sea is in front of them. What are we going to do? We're stuck. So what did Hashem say? Hashem yilochem lachem v'atem tacharishim. God will fight for you. You just be quiet. What do you do? What did Hashem say in the next pasuk? Hashem said to Moshe, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael v'yisol. Just go. Don't worry about Egypt. God will fight the Egyptians for you. You just go. Okay? That's one war. The end of the Parsha, the Jews are going to Matan Torah after the splitting of the sea. The nation of Amalek comes. Yeah? What does Hashem say to Moshe? Tell Yeshua, B'char lanu anashim, b'tzehi lochem b'Amalek. Tell Yeshua, pick, choose soldiers, and go fight Amalek. So the question is, beginning of the Parsha, God says, forget it. No fighting. God will fight for you. Just move on. Here Amalek comes, God says, go out and fight. Why? I mean, either you don't fight, you don't fight. What's the difference? So the Rebbe explains very profoundly the fundamental difference between the two wars. Egypt was coming behind them. Right? They were going this way. Egyptians were following them. That represents the past. The evil past. God says, you have evil past. Forget it. Don't harp on it. You fight dirt, you get dirty. That's the bottom line. You fight dirt, you're going to get dirty. So what does Hashem say? The past, the evil past, Egypt? Atem tacharishin. God will take care of you, just be quiet. What do you do? Move on. Now the Jews are going to Matan Torah. They're going ahead. And somebody, it's not the past, it's the future. The front coming to you to fight you, to stop you from going to get the Torah. Hashem said, that you gotta go fight. That's the future. The future you gotta fight. Past, you only deal with when it's good. When it's negative, like it says, here it says, Chor Yomei Seilam, Binu Shnei Zder V'Der, understand the years of generation, generations. Shal Avichu V'Yageitcha, ask your father will tell you, your elders will tell you, there's a lot to talk about in the second half of the Pasuk. But just the first half again. Hashem says, look in history. Okay? Look at the core of, in other words, he says like this. It's lack of perspective. He brings it down to the bottom even. He says, most people refuse to believe that the past is relevant to them. But again, if it's something you need to learn from the past, then you have to deal with the past. If the past is negative, yeah, I'll give you another example. It's late already. In therapy. Yeah, today's style to go to therapy. If you don't go to therapy, they think you're nuts. Okay, yeah, it's a mitzvah, one of the 614th mitzvahs, go to therapy today. That's the mitzvah. There's two ways of dealing. Parent, child, couples, whatever it is. They have issues. Okay? There's a lot of garbage going on. So there's a Torah therapy, and there's I wouldn't say all secular therapy, but many secular therapists, like Freud, for instance. Freud believed you deal with the past. You dig up all the dirt, dig up all the mud, and then you deal with it. Right? You try to heal it. According to Tata, why isn't that good? Because when you bring up dirt, you get dirty. You fight dirt, you get dirty.
You're cleaning it, right?
clean? No, you're not. Because well, usually, I mean, one second, yeah, listen, let me tell you how to clean it. In Torah approach, in therapy, I mean, Torah is not therapist, but the way Torah works is, there's something good in this relationship. Besides the bad, there's also some good, obviously. Accentuate the positive, harp on the positive, emphasize the positive, and then the evil falls away by itself. So all you're doing is dealing with positive, and then when you deal only with positive, there is no negativity. There is no evil, because you only see good. You know, as people, like I said many times, you know, a couple gets into a fight, all of a sudden, nothing the woman does is good. She doesn't cook good anymore. She doesn't dress well anymore. Everything is terrible. She didn't change her wardrobe and she didn't change her recipes. What happened? Very simple. When you wear dark glasses, everything is black. And when you wear clear glasses, everything is clear. It's very simple. So what does Torah say? Torah says, deal with the positive. The past, deal with the past when it's positive. And Zchari Meisel, he said, remember the past. When you deal with the past, then you're great. Okay.